The reading is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7 and 14 to 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the anointing upon Jonathan's life. Lord, and I just pray right now for that fresh anointing to just flood his spirit. Lord, as he expounds your word to us, and I pray, Lord, that you'll just touch our hearts and minds to receive what you have to say for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, I'm nearly reaching my 50th year this year. Who remembers letters? Put your hand up if you remember getting letters through the post. You still write them. Do you remember, anyone have that excitement of you hear the letterbox go and you think, oh, who's written to me? And you find out it's the bank. I got a couple of letters that I keep. This is probably about 25 to 30 years old. This is from my grandma, who passed away in 2004. And it's a really lovely letter. I won't read it because I'll probably end up crying. full of information about my studies. She's asking how Paula is, my sister, because I was living with my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law. And lots of little information. That's a really precious letter that I keep. This is a letter from Thornhill Baptist Church, the youth pastor and minister, Bob Morris, who passed away from a brain hemorrhage. I worked with him in my first year at college, and he was an absolutely amazing teacher, an amazing friend, and I keep his words to me in that letter too. Maybe when in 50 years' time, I might get a letter from the king or the queen, whoever's on the throne, on the telegram. Anyone else keep precious letters from people that we love? So keep that in mind as we think of Romans, because when we think of Romans, we think like this, study, you know, real theology. When actually, it was a letter. It was a letter from Paul to people that he actually cared about and loved. And he was desperate to go and visit the people of Rome. Letter to the Romans was a letter to a specific group of people in a specific time and in a city. But it is so rich, full of theology, that we today get so much of what we believe from it, which is amazing. If you go to the last chapter of Romans, you'll see the relationship that Paul had with people who were in that church. He mentions Phoebe. Phoebe was going to visit, and he's saying, welcome, Phoebe. She was a deacon, a leader. And people think it's Phoebe who brought that letter. Then you've got Priscilla and Aquila. If you put your hand out if you've heard of Priscilla and Aquila. A couple that Paul worked with had a house church in Rome. And then you've got some really complicated names like Epaphras, who's a dear friend. And then you've got Andronicus and Junia, who were in prison with Paul. So a few people that Paul met in prison. You can imagine the conversation. Do you come here often? Well, no, not really. And the list goes on. It's not a church that Paul doesn't know the people of. He knows many people that worship God and are part of that church. So let's have a look at some little bit more background. If you go to that slide, can you all see that, or is it too small? So, for those where it's small, many believe that Romans was written in about AD 57. And as you all know, Rome was the centre of the Roman Empire. Surprise, surprise. The legend is two brothers, Romulus and Remus, were thrown down the river and they were brought up by a wolf, etc. It's all mythology, but apparently they started Rome. At the time that this letter was written, a very nice gentleman called Nero was emperor. Anyone heard of Nero? He would throw people like you and me to the lions, or he'd cover you in tar and set you alight. And I'm saying this because this is what happened to your brothers and sisters in Christ. And in this world today, it's still going on. That's why I want to encourage you, please pray for the persecuted church. I know that if I was persecuted, I would hope that Christians from around the world would be praying for me too. Acts 2:10, as I've mentioned, people from Rome actually were there at Pentecost and took the message back to Rome. And just a local piece of information, did you know that Lindum Colonia, also known as Lincoln, started at the time of Nero? So when you go to Lincoln next, just think, this place began around about the time that Romans was written. So I just found that a little piece of information that I thought was quite interesting. So if we go to, there's 3 points. Because it is like an introduction, it might not be very deep, this sermon. But let's have a look at the author. The author was Saul of Tarsus, and Saul changed his name to Paul, which is my middle name. It means small in Greek, apparently. And I just wonder whether he chose Paul in a sense of humility. Saul was a Pharisee. He knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. And he knew Scripture really well. He made it clear in our Scripture, he was a Roman citizen. So not only was he a Pharisee and he knew the Bible back to front, he was also a Roman citizen that had, and he knew his rights and he knew the law. He was a very, very intelligent guy. And I wonder whether he chose Paul when he became a Christian as a sign of humility. Look, I used to think of myself as great. I am actually nothing, really. And Paul once hated Christians like you and me. And he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And you can read all about that in Acts 9. And he traveled and visited lots of churches across the Roman Empire. And he wrote letters of encouragement and challenge. And so the question is, as we look at this author, is in what ways Have you encouraged someone recently? Have you encouraged anyone this week? Have you encouraged anyone this month? I was going to say this year. We're still in the first month. How are you encouraging your brothers and sisters? You don't have to be Saul of Tarsus or St. Paul to encourage. We all need encouraging, don't we? And then we look at the recipients. The people of Rome. Now, the church was made up of all sorts of people. Did you know that it was generally a Gentile church? The Jews were actually expelled from Rome in AD 54. They were blamed, as often the Jewish people are blamed for many things, and they were thrown out of Rome. And many of those Roman citizens then went to live in Corinth and some of the other bigger cities. That's how Paul got to know people, a few people from Rome. But he talks about unity because he talks about, look, there's no difference between a Jew and a Gentile. The message is for everybody. There is no difference between a Jew and Gentile when it comes to a relationship with Christ. And we read all about that in Acts, didn't we? As a church, we saw how Peter had that vision of that blanket and God saying, look, the Gentile, the Roman, the Greeks, I love them too. Take the message to them too. And you can see that in Romans 10, 12. No difference between Jew and Greek. But there is another connection between what Paul says and the people of Rome. Did you notice that Paul introduced himself as a slave? He says, I, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Actually, a slave. Can anyone guess the percentage of slaves that lived in Rome at the time? 30% of the population of Rome were slaves. Has anyone seen Spartacus? Okay, Spartacus was a slave that rebelled and had lots of battles against the Romans, and eventually they caught him, Kirk Douglas, and there's a powerful scene where the Romans said, right, slaves, we're going to kill every one of you unless one of you tells us which one of you is Spartacus. And Kirk Douglas, or Spartacus, thought, okay, the game's up. And as he stands up, the person next to him says, I'm Spartacus. And the next one says, I'm Spartacus. And all around, people say, I'm Spartacus. They all believed in the cause. I'm Spartacus. All of them were slaves, desperate to be free. Desperate to be free. But they all said, if it's going to cost me my life, I'm Spartacus. Imagine if you're arrested back then in Rome. I'm a Christian. Anyone here is a Christian? I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. They were not ashamed of the gospel. I was telling a story to someone recently. It's a story that I heard a number of times. During the Czechoslovakia rebellion against communism in 1967 or 68, I don't know which year exactly, the story goes like this. The Russians came and suppressed the rebellion in Czechoslovakia. And the story goes that this Russian general and his soldiers, they burst into the church. Right, all you who are genuine Christians, stay. Anyone else, you are free to leave. Of course, the people there were thinking, right, I'm going to be killed for my faith. And few people left. He told his soldiers to leave. And he said, I'm a Christian too, and I want to worship with my brothers and sisters. What a powerful story. I am a Christian. Not I'm Spartacus, but I am a Christian. I am not ashamed. Think about this, that Paul, he's a free man. He's a Roman citizen. He's very much knows his Bible. And you know what he says? He says, you know what? I'm a Christian, but I am willing to give up everything and be a slave for Christ. The people of Rome, when we read that, and it just kind of, servant-heartedness. We use servant quite a lot. But Peter says, I am a slave. I am willing to give up my freedom to be a Christian. For those of you that ever hear sermons on YouTube or ever interact with people with different beliefs, I've heard so many times this phrase, it's right. Why is something right? Because the Jesus that I know would say it's right. My Jesus wouldn't do that. And then someone would say, well, what if you know that what Jesus actually thinks is the opposite to you? Would you still follow Jesus? No, if that's what Jesus would think, I wouldn't follow him. Well, that is not being a slave. That is, I'll only worship God on my terms. In fact, it's idolatry, because I am making my Jesus to be the type of God that I want. If God is personal, he is who he is. He says that to Moses, I am who I am. And the amount of times when I was at college and we've had debates on very liberal issues, and one person would use scripture and the other person would say, well, because my Jesus wouldn't do that. It's not based on truth or scripture. But you know what Paul says? Look, I might even disagree with God on some things, but I'll tell you what, I am willing to get rid of all of my what I think and what I want, and I'm going to follow Jesus, whether I like everything that he gives me or whether he doesn't. I will follow Jesus through the good times, and I will follow Jesus through the bad times. God wants you all to not be fair-weather Christians. It's great we're here on Sunday, but Jesus wants you to be a Christian every day of the week. And there may be things that you have questions for God, and that's fine to ask God questions. It really is. But will you still worship Jesus if you don't like something? Paul was willing to make himself a slave for Christ. And it doesn't matter whether he agrees with everything. No, he's going, look, I don't see eye to eye, but I'll tell you what, God, I will be your slave. My rights are gone. That is what it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life. We often use the term friend, and he is a friend. We often look at God as father, and he is a father. But he wants that commitment from you. And so many people around the world claim to be Christians, but only when they're not being persecuted, only when life's going well, only when they win the lottery. Oh, they wouldn't play lottery probably, but only when things are going well. Fair weather Christians. Paul was a slave for Christ. And the people of Rome would have read that and thought, do you know what? There's people in our church who are slaves. They want their freedom, desperately want their freedom, because they're getting beaten by their master. They're getting persecuted. And think about it like this. A church like this in Rome 2,000 years ago would have had slave and master worshipping together. We know this from Philemon, that there were slaves that were Christians and slave masters. Paul was willing to give all of that up for Christ. My final point then, as we finish, is the message. The message that he's not ashamed of, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel. As we read Romans, Paul wants to explain to the Gentiles, which is why it's so rich in biblical theology and history. He's trying to explain to people who don't have the whole picture. There are some people that became Christians because the power of Christ changed them. And maybe we became Christians once through an amazing experience, but we don't know all the answers. We don't know all the theological points. And here's Paul. He writes a letter to people that he loves saying, oh, it's so good to hear about you. I want to explain to you what creation was meant to God in chapters 1 to 3. And then he explores about Abraham. Paul wants to explain about Abraham and the promised land. He wants to explain about sin, original sin in Romans 5. And he goes through the letter of Romans just wanting to explain to the people that he loved the truth of the gospel, because Paul knew the Old Testament, he knew the prophets, and he wanted just to explain God's amazing grace. And that is the conclusion of this message, God's amazing grace. You don't have to know the Bible inside out. God still loves you and wants that relationship with you. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish, if you're Greek, if you're Gentile, man or woman. Christ came for everybody. He wants that relationship with you. But that relationship is free, but also costs everything. He wants us to give our whole entire lives, so much that Paul was willing to be a slave for Christ. Let us pray. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for Paul's wonderful letter and all we've heard through and all that we read through that letter. Lord, please be with us throughout this series as we explore the book of Romans. Open our eyes to the depths and beauty of the gospel so that we may have a richer grasp of all that you have done in the past and all that you'll continue to do in us today. Lord, help us not to be ashamed, confused, or quiet about the gospel. Teach us through Romans so that we may be more confident in you and share our love for you more openly and widely. Amen.